This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Boston has a $44 million plan for Blue Hill Avenue. They want it to include bus lanes right down the middle. Now, you might already know that. What you may not know or remember is that 15 years ago, residents quashed a different plan for rapid buses down the center of Blue Hill Avenue. Now, that time, it was the Patrick administration and a state project called 28X. Big federal money hung in the balance, and the timeline was pretty tight. So the question is, are the differences big enough for history not to repeat itself? And did the city learn the lessons of the past? Jim Aloisi was Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation. He pushed for the 28X project in 2009. And Sonia Chang Diaz was a state senator representing much of the Blue Hill Ave corridor then, and ultimately told Aloisi he ought to kill 28X at that time. They are both with us to help talk that through. Jim, welcome back.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
And Sonia, welcome to you too.
Thanks, Tiziana. And Jim, it's great to be with you.
Nice to see you, Senator.
You too.
So listen, the goal is to learn, right? So here's what I want to do first. Jim and Sonia, I'm going to ask you to go one at a time. And I'm going to ask you to go back in your brains to 09. Not now. Yeah. Not what you know now and the perspective now, but then. And Jim, I'll start with you. Tell me, in your 09 shoes, maybe you still own them, I don't know, but in your 09 shoes, what happened?
So if people remember back in 2008 and 2009, we had what we affectionately referred to as the Great Recession. And one of the outcomes of that was the election of President Obama in 2008. When President Obama took office in 2009, he and the Congress put together a federal relief package that was designed to get us out of that deep recession. The American Recovery Act is what it was called. And it was stimulus funding that was helpful, that worked. It's not unlike some of the stimulus funding that we saw recently coming out of the pandemic. It was of a smaller scale, but it was still significant for the time. As Secretary of Transportation, I therefore had quite a bit of money, federal money, that was coming in an unprecedented way to spend on projects in Massachusetts. The problem with that spending, from my perspective, was that we were required to spend it quickly, which I understand the logic of that. And we were required to spend it on what was called mostly shovel-ready projects. Anybody who knows anything about transit projects knows that there were very few such things as shovel-ready transit projects. I was concerned that most of the transportation money was going to go to highways and bridges and not enough equitably to transit. So one of the things that I asked my planning staff to do, and that they did, was to come back with what I was hoping would be a transformative project in the city that would change the way people thought about bus transit, and that would take bus transit and improve it significantly. And the idea was that what we called the 28X, the 28 bus, which, as everyone knows, begins at Mattapan Square and runs up Blue Hill Ave to Grove Hall and ultimately to Nubium, packed like sardines every day.
Yeah, today, more than 37,000 riders a day every weekday.
Huge. So, you know, when I was secretary, I didn't drive a car ever because I was afraid to do that. If I took the wrong turn or something, I'd be in the newspapers the next day. So I had someone in the office drive me down to Mattapan Station and leave me there alone. And I took the 28 bus and I took it several times by myself to experience it. And I didn't like the experience, not just the crowding, but the bus constantly having to fight double parking, triple parking. The bus having to deal with traffic signals that weren't timed properly. And so we devised the center running bus rapid transit idea and announced it. And I shifted $145 million, that's what the plan was, from highway funding to transit in order to make this happen. I remember sitting with the governor, Governor Patrick, in the corner office, in his office at the State House, for laying out the plan. And he looked at me and he said, "Boy," he said, "this is really going to be transformative of the city, isn't it?" I said, "Yes, Governor, it will." now.
Perfect. So no. So actually, I will stop you.
Those are the facts.
Yes. Yeah. So I'll stop you there and let me correct myself. 37 riders on the Blue Hill Ave corridor on buses every day. So this is perfect. Okay. So what I'll do now is we'll throw to Sonia Chang Diaz. You pick it up there.
Yeah.
In your 2009 shoes, the second half of the story.
Yeah. So I'm so glad that Jim gave the context about, you know, just being, you know, right at the beginning of coming out of the Great Recession. It was, you know, a huge opportunity for the state to get a huge, you know, a much needed influx of dollars. And, you know, I, to, you know, sort of further set the stage for you, 2009, I was a baby senator, you know, had, you know, at the time when this first was rolled out and announced to the community, I hadn't even completed, my first year in office. And I didn't know Jim Aloisi from Adam. You know, and the first time I saw him in action, you know, was at a community meeting in Mattapan. And I, you know, believe then, I believe now that, you know, everything that Jim has just described, right, the wonderful intention that came behind this proposal, that drove this proposal, no pun intended, to, you know, have equitable routing of money to transit and not just roads and bridges. It's something that I have long stumped for, you know, in my 14-year tenure as a state senator representing one of the lowest income and most of color districts in the state. And, you know, I think that the intentions were good and what I would wish for them to be. But what I saw poor Jim Aloisi run into in that Mattapan community meeting was a buzzsaw of community mistrust. And it wasn't of Jim Aloisi personally. It wasn't of Deval Patrick personally. But it was a long accumulated, you know, predated them, a long accumulated trust deficit between residents of Mattapan, Dorchester, Roxbury, toward government generally, right, and state agencies and state transportation agencies in particular. And I learned some big lessons over the course of, you know, several weeks, right, of community engagement and opposition about this project, of the perils of bringing something to a community that is, you know, starting from a place of deep, you know, of trauma and injury accumulated over the decades at the hands of government, and bringing an idea, even if it may be based in the best of intentions, that is sort of, you know, fully formed or mostly fully formed, and you sort of bring it on a platter and you think, like, look, we did something good for you, right? And residents, you know, seeing that rather than seeing, you know, all of the potential benefits, what they see, and it's not, you know, unreasonable, is here come some outsiders once again telling us what they think is good for us without checking with us in the first place. And it was, you know, opening some old wounds in a big way. And to Jim's credit, you know, I think even though clearly a lot of, you know, sweat and love had gone into this proposal and there was $140 million on the line, you know, and sort of this instinct of who's going to turn away $140 million worth of investment in their community, right? This is great. To his credit, I saw him pivot pretty quickly and really hear people in the community meetings and make a commitment that I think was probably, and you can say for yourself, Jim, but I've perceived at the moment, I think it was hard to say, I hear what you're telling me. And if you truly don't want this, right, after we work, we'll talk it through a little bit more, we'll go through some more rounds of discussion. And if you truly don't want this by the deadline for us to go no-go with the federal application, I'll pull it.
Jim Aloisi, pick it up from there.
Yeah, well, I think it was heartbreaking in a sense because I had, you know, I come from a place where I'm a lifelong citizen, resident of Boston, and grew up in East Boston at a time when there was a lot of citizen activism about airport expansion. So I felt really deeply about listening to the community. The problem we had was that we didn't have a choice. We had to act quickly. And so all of the kinds of citizen engagement, public meeting engagement that you see Mayor Wu and the city doing now in the present moment, we didn't have the opportunity to do it. We didn't have the luxury to do that. One of the flaws of the 2009 stimulus legislation, in my judgment, was that you had to spend the money quickly and you didn't have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So we did pivot. I will say this. I got a bunch of texts from a variety of people across the country, actually, because that's how, you know, people have left Massachusetts since then, sort of jokingly, half jokingly congratulating me when the mayor announced that we're moving forward on Blue Hill Avenue. And my reaction was, well, you know, a good idea is a resilient one, right? And so it took a long time to get to where we are today. But you needed to have the community engagement. It's obvious. And that's not just respect for the community. It's listening to the community. It's understanding their concerns, their fears, their needs, and being as responsive as you can be to those needs before you begin to actually implement the design.
We're speaking with Jim Aloisi, who in 2009 was the Secretary of Transportation for the state, and Sonia Cheng Diaz, who in 2009 was a state senator. And what we're doing is looking to learn from the lessons of a failed attempt to put 28X, which to simplify, would have been a center bus lane with rapid bus transit down a big portion of Blue Hill Ave in 2009. The reason we're doing it, of course, is the city of Boston now has a $44 million plan on the table. And part of their proposal is a center bus lane to speed up busing, although not it's not the same. It's not exactly the same proposal today. No. So that's where we are. So I want to ask the two of you a couple of questions. And this first one, I want to do sort of rapid fire. Was the proposal doomed from the start simply by a matter of time frame? Jim, yes or no?
Yes.
Sonia, would you agree?
In hindsight, I think yes, I could say yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So time frame was the driving factor. There was no way this thing was going to work.
18 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's unfortunately true.
Okay. So that is fascinating, which means that the biggest lesson that we need to learn for today is take the time it needs. And it, yes. Sonia.
Yeah. And I'll jump in here. I think one of the great silver linings of the very, you know, heartbreaking process around 28X and the outcome of 28X was that, you know, Jim and his colleagues at the state transportation agencies did hear the community when the community said, and they were smart, they understood this factor of time. And they said, you know, don't just walk away once you pull this proposal, as we have asked you to. Stay with us, stay engaged with us, ask us what we want. You know, we got a lot of opinions about transportation infrastructure improvements that we need along Blue Hill Ave corridor. Stay with us and write all this stuff down. So let's have a shovel-ready plan the next time, you know, a funding opportunity comes around. And the state really did that, right? And there were several rounds that came under different names. There was, I think, you know, the immediate outgrowth of that process was what was called the RDM, the Roxbury-Dorchester-Mattapan Transit Needs Study. You know, and it was a few years of you know, sort of slow and steady, right, community meetings and process. I remember going to Charette's and, you know, the roundtables. And they came out with a study in 2012, I think it was. And then the MBTA made a commitment based on those recommendations of $15 million to key bus route improvements. And, you know, that was real money. It was unsexy stuff. But that resident said, this is what we want, right? Like, we want, you know, the heat. There's no heat in the bus shelters. These bus shelters are broken. We need trash cans here, here, and here. There are too many stops on the line. Let's consolidate them so the buses can move faster. And the MBTA did that unsexy work of making those improvements to the bus lines. And that, you know, to your point earlier, Tiziana, about the huge amount of ridership on this corridor, those key bus routes, and I forget exactly how many bus routes it hit, you know, maybe it was like between 10 and 20, those key bus routes that they made those improvements on cumulatively affected a third of the bus riders in the whole state,
yeah.
Right? It's a huge number of people. And then the city did the, you know, the Go Boston 2030 process to keep getting community input. So all of this stuff is coming to fruition now in what I see, you know, in the mayor's plan to put this big investment into Blue Hill Ave because that work was done between 2009 and now.
So this is interesting. And I'm going to pivot back to you, Jim Aloisi, for a minute. You know, Sonia Cheng Diaz just laid out the longer term process that came after. The last time we had Boston Mayor Michelle Wu on, I asked her a couple of questions, and we were juxtaposing a failed attempt that she had to move the John D. O'Brien High School to West Roxbury into a building there and the beginning stages of this planning for changes on Blue Hill Avenue. And I asked her if she had made a mistake by putting plans out for the John D. O'Brien and then getting community feedback. She said, yeah, I probably made a mistake in sequencing. And then we talked about Blue Hill Lab, where she's acknowledged she's going to do a 2-year community feedback process block by block, and that that's different. And she talked openly about the tension between her sense of urgency and her drive to want to do things quickly, and her understanding that community input and the community feeling like the pace matches their needs is necessary. Mm-hmm. What I think I'm taking in part from that is, this sounds sort of snide. I don't mean it to be. Welcome to the challenges of leadership when you've got a technical solution you want to implement, Jim. Yes?
These are massive challenges. And we talk about this in the class I teach in the fall at MIT. These are real issues. There's a real tension between getting things done and time. You know, all of us who have been in a position of political power, which enable us to get these things done, are by definition only in office for short periods of time. Governors are in office for 4 years, maybe 8. Similarly with mayors, and the people they appoint are in office for shorter terms than that most of the time. And so you have the real dilemma of saying, I've got the money and I've got the plan and I need to get this done, because I don't know if the next person who succeeds me or who succeeds my boss is going to have these same priorities, is going to think the same way. And so we've been fortunate. I go back to my half joke, you know, good ideas are resilient ones, but it's very difficult in the public environment to have that this kind of sustainable approach to long-term projects when the political world by definition is a little bit of a revolving door. So here we are 15 years later, and we're still looking at a horizon of a few more years before people get relief. And I'll just make a point. There are people really harmed by this delay, right? People who have not had a better bus experience for 15 plus years because of this delay. Mm-hmm. And I think we all need to ask, community leaders, are these trade-offs acceptable? Are there better ways to streamline the process, right?
That's real.
That's real, and people feel it every day.
That's real. It puts me in mind, Tiziana, of a study that I think maybe it was Northeastern came out with somewhere in the middle years of the last 15 years about disparities in transportation services. And the biggest thing that jumped out at me from that study was the time difference. And I picture Blue Hill Ave, you know, the buses on Blue Hill Ave when I read this stat, just many years in the past. I'm not going to get the stat right, but the takeaway was, Black and brown riders on the MBTA are spending many, many, many more minutes per week on their commute than white and affluent riders. And I looked at that, and, you know, people tend to know me in Massachusetts politics more of as a you know, education policy crusader. And I think about, you know, 90 minutes. Let's say it was 90 minutes a week difference, you know, cumulatively in your commute times. That's a parent-teacher conference meeting, right? That's a trip to the doctor's office. There's so many ripple effects of those little minutes, you know, that add up day to day. And so I cannot agree with Jim more strongly that there are real costs to, you know, the time that we wait. It is absolutely a tension. It's a defining tension of work in government and the public sector. And I would say, you know, my best sort of prescription for that, you know, for resolving that tension, it's never going to completely go away, is trust, right? Trust is such an important asset for the public sector to steward with the people that it serves, because without that high level of trust, when you get these opportunities to move quickly and you get the big funding streams unexpectedly, you know, that's what allows you to move faster when you need to move. And the absence of trust is what's going to, you know, what's going to kill it every time.
Yeah, that was a research by the Dukakis Center at Northeastern. And when I was on faculty at Boston College, we actually did one as well that looked at intersectionality of race, income, and location, and found that there was a consistent correlation. If you were Black and brown and low income, with access to slower and less optimal modes of public transportation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know this to be true. Okay, in our remaining time, I'll just ask each of you, you know, the one piece of advice, $44 million on the table, this vision for Blue Hill Avenue now. Jim, your number one piece of advice to everyone involved in that conversation is X.
My advice is to take a real close look at whether you think the mobility experience along Blue Hill Avenue between Mattapan Station and Nubian has improved since 2009. Is the ride any better? Is your experience better? The answer is, I know what the answer is. It's going to be no, right? Except for the mayor's, free bus initiative. That's improved a little bit. But the actual service delivery, service quality is not improved. So people need to take an understanding of that and appreciate that we are now in a place having 15 plus years of deliberation, engagement, discussion to move transit riders to a better place, to a different place, and to really show how Boston is reimagining bus transit in the 21st century in a way that's more equitable, more sustainable, and more reflective of our values. I think maybe 2009 was a little early for that, but we're way past the deadline. And I'm really glad that the mayor has taken this cause on. I think that she's showing the kind of leadership locally that people nationally are looking to and will take lessons from.
And Sonia Chang, yes?
I'd say two things quickly. One is to really surface and you know, make explicit in the conversations with community this tension that you've articulated, Tiziana, of, you know, time versus benefit, right, to the general public, so that everyone is grappling with that, with those trade-offs, and it's not just, you know, the sort of technocrats inside government. And I really have a faith in the general public and their ability to grapple, you know, with those tougher questions when asked to. Second, and I would say, is stewarding that trust, right? Remembering that everything that we do as public servants in this round is going to accrue good for good or for bad to the next time, right? The next project that somebody wants to get done, and really holding that close.
Sonia Chang Diaz, state senator for a long time in the region. We were talking about Jim Alawisi, at the time Secretary of Transportation, helping us learn some really valuable lessons. I want to thank you both for being with us. Thanks.
Thanks, Tiziana.
Thanks for having us.